You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM.
And this story comes from YouTube. Actually, YouTube will rely more on artificial intelligence to moderate its videos during the coronavirus pandemic, since many of its human reviewers are being sent home to limit the spread of the virus, as we all are being basically sent home at this point. This means videos may be taken down from the site purely because they were flagged by the artificial intelligence as potentially violating a policy, whereas videos might normally get routed to a human reviewer to confirm that they should be taken down, basically meaning that we're going to be seeing false positives here. And so basically, if you're asking, why don't they just work from home moderating? That's a very good question. And the reason why they can't do that is because human moderators usually work from specific offices that are set up for review, like basically for the review process. Particularly for a large company like YouTube, allowing this work to be done outside of a tightly controlled corporate environment risks exposing sensitive user data and makes it easier for moderators to reveal what they see day to day, meaning some of the stuff that they see is so unbelievably horrific that YouTube, aka Google, doesn't want it to get out. And so they keep these people in very tightly controlled environments where they can't possibly replicate that data outside of that control system that has been set up. So that means if staffing is being reduced at their offices, human moderation is basically going to have to slow down. And so if you post something on YouTube, you may actually get it flagged in a way that you weren't expecting because the artificial intelligence might hit you as a false positive. And by virtue of that, you might have to submit a request to say, well, this is a false positive. I'm clearly doing something legitimate. And it might take them a good long while to actually review that because right now, coronavirus. And so heads up, YouTube may shift and change by virtue of this, but this may also train their artificial intelligence to be more accurate in the future, which means they may need less humans in the future as well. So I'm very curious to see where this goes. And that is your first bit of new YouTube news through the whole coronavirus outbreak.
And now for breaches of the week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, let's begin.
And this week's Breaches of the Week is actually a little different. Normally, I list out every data breach from small company to massive that has been disclosed. But by virtue of the coronavirus, there has been a slew of data breach notifications that have come out. And that, quite frankly, is one of those things that I always am telling you about. When the bomb drops and the news media is focused on something else, now's the time to declare a data breach. And so instead of going through every little organization that's done this, because you know we have so much to get through in this radio show, I'm going to go ahead and give you the highlights of the major organizations that were involved in some kind of data breach in the last couple of weeks since I last broadcast to you guys and last did my show, because these disclosures obviously are still flying under the radar. And again, all the news is focused on coronavirus, and I had to work to get a lot of these out there. And, you know, I did get help from a lot of my normal people, like, you know, Chris Fallon, Neville Goodalls, Rebecca Rutherford, Dr. Christopher Gay, and a slew of others. And if I didn't mention your name, I'm genuinely sorry for this, but, you know, the world's been turned upside down, and it's kind of been, you know, interesting. You know, sitting here broadcasting out of my home as opposed to, you know, doing it in the normal radio station where I've got everything prepared and my cup of coffee and, you know, everything else. So it's been an interesting week. But with that, let's get started and let's talk first about Facebook, because they are first up in our Breaches of the Week segment. Two huge databases containing the records of over 300 million Facebook users, including their user IDs, phone numbers, names, and other information have been leaked online. Now, this breach was detected by security researcher Bob Diachenko, and you've probably heard his name before. He's finding a lot of these kinds of things. This is what he does for a living. Basically, he was the first one to expose these last December, and it's just now coming to light. Now, he believes that this large collection of Facebook user data was collected by cyber criminals in Vietnam, either through an illegal scraping operation or by abusing the network's API-based API-based system, which looks like some of the evidence is based off of that. And basically, an API is the application programming interface. It allows third parties to connect into a large platform like a Facebook. And so if you're a Facebook user, heads up to you. Moving on, we have a data breach that involves Amazon, eBay, Shopify, PayPal, and Stripe. So those are some very heavy hitters online. Researchers have discovered another big database containing millions of European customer records left unsecured on an Amazon Web Services bucket for anybody to basically find using a search engine. A total of 8 million records were involved and collected via marketplace and payment system APIs. I just mentioned what an API was, belonging to companies including, again, Amazon, eBay, Shopify, PayPal, and Stripe. Now, this AWS or Amazon instance contained a MongoDB database that was visible on the 3rd of February, and the data in this database includes names, shipping addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, items purchased, payments, order IDs, links to Stripe and Spotify invoices, and partially redacted credit cards. Also included were thousands of Amazon Marketplace services queries, and basically authentication tokens and access key ID and more and more and more. So if you have used Amazon, eBay, Shopify, PayPal, and Stripe to buy something and you're in Europe, heads up to you, you may have been hit or exposed. Moving on, we're going to be talking about open exchange rates. We're talking about open exchange rates. They provide an API that allows organizations to query real-time and historical exchange rates for over 200 world currencies. The service basically says that their API, again, application programming interface, is used by companies such as Etsy, Shopify, Coinbase, Kickstarter, and more. So Shopify is not having a good week. In the data breach notification that they sent out, Open Exchange Rates explains that while investigating a network misconfiguration that was causing delays in their service, they discovered that an unauthorized user had gained access to their network and a database that included the user information. Basically, they did further investigation, and it was discovered that the attacker had accessed their system for almost a month between February 9th of 2020 and March 2nd, and that the data was most likely extracted from their system. Now, the data that was affected, and again, if you're using Etsy, Shopify, Coinbase, Kickstarter, and others, you might want to listen to this. This is the name and email address that you registered with, an encrypted or hash password you used to access your account, the IP address from which you registered and or logged in your account, the application ID or app ID, personal and or business name and address, country of residence, and website address if you provided one. Now, basically, the customer keys, meaning the encryption standard that connects the platform together, these keys basically have been exposed. And so if you are a user that's using this, they're asking you to generate a new ID and a new key to basically access the service because they need you to reset. That is insane, and that's absolutely crazy. But again, if you are a heavy shopper on Etsy, Shopify, Coinbase, and Kickstarter, heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about Zyxel. That's Z-Y-X-E-L. They're a maker of very basic routers and wireless access points and network-attached storage devices and stuff like that. You can usually find them in your local retail store, like a Best Buy kind of thing. They have not declared a data breach, but you could be breached if some of you basically are running some of their products. Now, a new version of the Mirai botnet that came out in 2016 is exploiting a recently uncovered critical vulnerability in Zyxel network attached storage devices and some of their other devices as well. Now, this is being called Mukashi, and this new variant of malware is basically attacking the router using the combination of default credentials to log into Zyxel network attached storage devices, routers, as well as VPN firewalls and all of that to take control of these devices and basically weaponize them against targets. And so if you're running a Zyzel product, one, make sure that you have it fully and 100% up to date. Download those updates from the manufacturer, Zyzel. And two, do not use the default password on anything, especially a Zyzel router in this case. That's a very serious issue. Heads up to you. Moving on, we're going to be talking about a group called Digital Revolution. Now, this is a hacking group coming out of Russia, and they claim to have breached a contractor for the FSB. Now, this is Russia's National Intelligence Service, and discovered the details about a project intended for hacking Internet of Things or IoT devices. Now, the group published this week 12 technical documents, diagrams, and code fragments from a project called Fronton. The technical Fronton documents were put together following a procurement order placed by one of FSB's internal departments, unit number 64829, which is also known as the FSB Information Security Center. Basically, they were outsourcing this, calling one of their contractors to put this together for them. The documents charge that group Inform Invest Group, CJSC, which is a Russian company with a long history of fulfilling these kinds of orders for the FSB, was building this IoT hacking tool for them. Now, according to the BBC, Inform Invest Group appears to have subcontracted this project to a software company based out of Moscow called ODT or Oday LLC, which Digital Revolution claims to have hacked in April of 2019. Now, based on file timestamps, the project appears to have been put together in 2017 and 2018, and the documents basically reference and take inspiration from the Mirai virus. Now, if you're not familiar with the Mirai virus, basically this would scan your network device, your IoT device, and it would use every known combination of username and password that are default. So like admin, 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 password, admin, 1234, etc. And if you were using a default password, would basically log in and then convert and weaponize the IoT device, very similar to what Mukashi is doing for Zyzel routers, which I literally just talked about. But that's what the Russians were doing. They were creating their own variant of Mirai to be used, but their focus, though, wasn't on weaponizing this for, let's say, bandwidth attacks so much as it was hitting devices that had microphones and cameras in them so that they could exfiltrate data as well as surveil their targets. That's a very, very serious issue right now. And so we're going to see where that goes, but the Russians are always trying to break into things, as is many intelligence agencies, but they have really been turning it up, especially during the coronavirus situation, which, you know, I'll be talking about in a bit. Next up is GE or General Electric. You know these guys. They are the massive corporation that make a whole bunch of different stuff. They recently informed, they were informed of a security breach by one of their business partners. This is Canon Business Processing Services. Now, according to GE, approximately between February 3rd through the 14th of this year, an unauthorized party managed to gain access to a Canon email account that contains sensitive information on current and former employees of GE, as well as their beneficiary. Now, this was an email phishing attack, obviously, and the information that got dumped included direct deposit forms, driver's licenses, passports, birth dates, marriage certificates, death certificates, medical child support orders, tax withholding forms, beneficiary designation forms, applications for benefits such as retirement, severance, and death benefits with related forms and documents. So basically, everything that an attacker would need to identify you and run an identity theft scam. Now, according to GE's data breach notification letter, the forms may have also included names, addresses, social security numbers, driver's license numbers, bank account numbers, passport numbers, dates of birth, and other information. So if I ever want to steal your identity and you've worked for GE, Canon Business Services just made it a heck of a lot easier to do that. And so heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about Norwegian Cruise Line. This is one of those massive cruise lines that have been in the news because basically places aren't letting them dock due to quarantine people. But did you know they had a data breach too? Now, on March 13th of 2020, DynaRisk, which is a cybersecurity research outfit, their intelligence team discovered a breach database belonging to Norwegian Cruise Line. The data specifically consists of clear text passwords, meaning anybody could read the passwords. So awesome, guys. This is also why we change our passwords regularly, as well as email addresses belonging to 27,000 travel agents, many of whom are affiliated with many major travel companies like TUI and Virgin Holidays. The data in question is used by travel agents to log into the agents.ncl.eu website, which acts as a portal for Norwegian Cruise Line. So if you are a travel agent in Norwegian Cruise Line, you may have been compromised, and hopefully your people haven't been. And right now the travel industry has basically been destroyed by virtue of the coronavirus. So hopefully Norwegian Cruise Line will take some of that downtime to go ahead and actually make their websites a lot more secure. And finally, we're going to be talking about something that, is quite ironic, especially in the cybersecurity industry. We're going to be talking about the insurance company Chubb, C-H-U-B-B. Chubb is a major insurance provider for businesses, and they are a major cybersecurity insurance provider for businesses. They told TechCrunch that they were investigating a security incident involving an unauthorized access to data belonging to an unnamed third party. Chubb spokesperson Jeffrey Zak said the company had, quote, no evidence, end quote, the incident affected Chubb's own network and that their network remains fully operational. Brett Cal, a threat analyst at the security firm Emisoft, first alerted TechCrunch to the breach about a week or two ago from probably when you're listening to this. Now, according to Callow, the security incident was a data stealing ransomware attack launched by the Maze ransomware group. And you've heard me talk about the Maze group before. Now, Callow said the attackers behind the incident posted a listing on their website claiming to have data stolen from Chubb in earlier March. The listing included the names and email addresses of three senior executives, including Chubb CEO Evans Greenberg. Now, the Maze ransomware groups like to exfiltrate data and then encrypt it for ransom. And if you don't pay the ransom, they expose all of your data out there. And so they will put up websites with proof and evidence that they've actually stolen your data as an incentive for companies to go ahead and pay that ransom. And so we'll see what happens there with Chubb, but hopefully they've got good cyber insurance. And so those were your breaches of the week. Quite frankly, that was probably a fraction. I really had to cut it down from my weekly breaches of the week, where I collect these, and compile them here for my radio show. And it is just crazy out there for this. And so that is a good smattering of what's going on. And that is a very serious issue. And so with that, I hope you weren't affected, but odds are if you're a cruise ship person or worked for GE or a Facebook member, and I know a lot of you probably were. And so with that, let's move on.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for the deep dive segment, where we take a closer and deeper look at a cybersecurity, cyber warfare, or technology issue around us. And if you have any suggestions for a deep dive segment or something you'd like me to dive into, you can once again find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. That's questions@securityfanatics.com. I am more than happy to take a look at it. And if it meets our standards, we are more than happy to do a deep dive on it. So let's begin.
And our deep dive for this week is actually going to be on the massive cyber threat that we have seen by virtue of the coronavirus. We have seen an absolute explosion and ramp up of targeting critical infrastructure like hospitals, the World Health Organization, Johns Hopkins, the CDC, and not just those organizations worldwide. We are seeing other governmental bodies, those that are on the forefront of fighting the COVID-19 or the coronavirus outbreak and trying to keep their population safe. And we have seen a massive increase in targeting. And so in this deep dive, I want to walk you through some of the critical things that we have seen, just so you understand what's going on here, but also what we are doing to combat this as a cybersecurity community, because I'm involved in some just very interesting things right now with a great group of people. And And I think you guys need to be aware of this because we are basically taking the fight to them, and we are becoming the line in the sand that we don't want hackers to cross as we defend our hospitals. And quite frankly, it really, really annoys me that something like this actually has to go on because of that. But we are going to get to this. And so with that, these are almost going to sound like data breaches, or an extension rather of the Breaches of the Week segment, if you are listening to the full 1 hour version of the show. But it is a mess out there. It is a very, very serious issue. And I am looking forward to making sure that we are secure along with several of my colleagues. And so with that, let's start with the U.S. Department of Health and Services, because they're a key part of the federal response here in the United States to the fast spreading coronavirus outbreak. And they got hit with an unspecified cyber incident about a week ago or so as you're listening to this. Now, HHS, Secretary Alex Azar said there was no data breach. National Security spokesperson John Olyat said the HHS networks are functioning normally and that officials are investigating the matter. Now, Department spokesperson Caitlin Oakley said there was a significant increase in activity on HHS cyber infrastructure that evening, but that the HHS was fully operational. And that is just deeply concerning because that dovetails with a whole bunch of other stuff we are seeing worldwide. And for that, let's go real quick to the Czech Republic, because there is the University Hospital Brno in the Czech Republic. That is the second largest hospital, apparently, in that country. And they got shut down a couple of weeks ago due to a cyber attack at 2 a.m. They got hit with ransomware, or at least it seems like it's ransomware, and they got knocked down for almost 2 weeks or so. And that is a very serious issue because that is one of the major COVID-19 or coronavirus testing centers in that region and in that country. And so there are a lot of people that then would go without. And that is just beyond disgusting. I mean, and it goes on and on and on. I mean, according to, the Wall Street Journal, basically criminals are targeting hospitals at a vastly increased rate. You know, major organizations like the World Health Organization that are coordinating international efforts to combat the coronavirus are seeing double their normal cyber threats. Reuters just did a major article on this. You know, and that is a huge, huge issue. Now, on top of that, virtually every organization is sending their workforce home. You know, this includes hospitals that has staff that aren't on the medical front lines. So think about it. You know, does the accountant for the hospital or the accounting staff for the hospital, because hospitals are huge, do they need to be in the building? The answer is no. So send them home. Less exposure, less risk. Only those frontline doctors and nurses, paramedics and all of that, are those that are out there, you know, on those front lines that I hope are taking all the precautions in the world to keep themselves safe as they go home at night to rest and hopefully not infect their families. That's a very serious issue. But we are also seeing worldwide that everybody, and I don't care what industry you're in, you know, if you don't have a job in the field in some way, shape, or form, whatever that field is, you are being sent home to work from home. And we are seeing a massive ramp up, in cyber threat. And that's a very serious issue. Fake websites are moving at a rapid speed to get spun up to sell you, you know, fake things or to simply steal your money or your information as you are in a panic trying to buy a mask or supplies or, you know, for a certain segment of the population, that miracle cure that, you know, that it's advertising. And there's a lot of fake news. We know per multiple sources, multiple articles that, you know, some of these are state-sponsored actors like the Russians, who have been very good at disinformation campaigns and all of that. Russia themselves are cracking down on their own fake news internally, but have no problem, you know, spreading that fake news to the rest of the world. And so that is something that we really, really have to deal with. And so with that, I want to introduce you guys in this segment to the COVID-19 Cyber Threat Coalition. This is what I am a part of. This is what I have been there since almost the ground floor. I want to say I signed up within the first couple of days as soon as I heard about it. And this is a group of more than 2,000 dedicated cybersecurity professionals from around the world that, quite frankly, like me, are just sick and tired of seeing criminal hackers use this pandemic basically as a tool and a smokescreen to attack hospitals, critical government infrastructure, and basically this new burgeoning remote workforce. And quite frankly, our numbers are growing too. We are growing just as the hacking is growing as well, because the entire world is waking up. And I have seen people in this group, and I have been communicating in meetings with people from around the globe, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, Europe, Africa. Everybody is here. Everybody is participating. And we represent, either officially or unofficially, governments from around the globe, major corporations from every vertical. The healthcare industry is in here as well. And our goal is to share that real-time cyber threat intelligence that everybody is gathering with each other so that we can quickly protect critical infrastructure. Meaning me here at Security Fanatics, if I am getting credible intel on a threat, no longer am I just going to my clients, some of which are in the health industry, and saying, hey, we are seeing this new threat, so we are updating you and protecting you and all of this. I am now taking that information and I am sharing it with these governments, these corporations, and all of these corporations and governments and organizations are sharing it with me as well. We are the new line in the sand, and we refuse to let any hospital or critical infrastructure go down on our watch. And we are looking for as much help as we can get with this. Nobody wants to see a hospital go down. Nobody wants to see something get shut down that is then going to basically prevent access from healthcare officials to help that person that's infected and then die in that hospital because some malicious hacker, some criminal was able to prevent this. We are not going to let this happen to the best of our ability. We are going to defend this planet, and we are going to continue to expand through this entire crisis until the crisis is over. And hopefully we will continue to share at this unprecedented rate. And there have been other intelligence sharing, solutions out there in the past. A lot of the major threat intelligence organizations talk and collaborate and all of this, but I have never seen a group this wide, this diverse, this global before, and this committed. 100% of us are volunteers.
And thank you so much for tuning in this week. It was another fun show, and I think we covered a lot of really good stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. It was a really good time, and I hope you keep tuning in. Thank you very much for listening to the Deep Dive Radio Show here with Nick Espinoza. And if you have any comments, suggestions, questions, absolutely anything, once again, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A. ESP. Again, that's Nick A. ESP. And you can always send an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. Don't be shy. I love the feedback. We've been having a great time with the show. And as always, stay safe and stay online, everyone. Thanks for listening.